Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. You found the Radio Today programme, the weekly podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. And you find me today in the most curious place. I'm in a disused hospital upstairs from a solicitor's office. Now, I'm here because I'm looking for the Gaunty. It's a strange animal. And this is now its natural habitat. John Gaunt, what the hell are you doing here?
Well, a lot of people think that my career's gone so far down the chute, I'm on hospital radio. I am on the radio in a hospital. So this is an old hospital. As you can see, we're in the operating theatre here.
Still got the big light.
Yeah. This was a private A&E. You paid 75 quid a year. If you had an accident, you come here. Went bust about 3 or 4 years ago. Obviously now with the tourism power, I'd be well back in profit. But my business partner, Martin Howe of Howe & Co, bought the building. And then when we started up this idea of this free speech radio, he said, well, I've got a load of space. I've got 4,000 square feet, have as much as you want. So if I walk you through...
There's the original scrubs.
Yeah, you've got the scrub room, yeah, just to explain, with the old taps that you move with your elbows. There's also a sluice room around here where the body parts stand in here, Trev, where the body parts were thrown down. And it is a bit spooky, I've got to say. There's two operating theatres on this floor, and basically we converted our part of the building into our radio studios. The long-term aim is, if we can make some money, we'll convert the rest of it as well. So we'll have a whole suite of studios here in West London, Brentford.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Just to back up a bit then, John, last time I spoke to you, you were at Foo Bar.
Oh, yeah.
Before that, you'd been on lots and lots of radio stations, won lots of awards.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say to you, you've built your own radio station because you can't find one to employ you. Is that about right?
No, it's not really right. I mean, I've been in the radio wilderness for 5 or 6 years, as you say, despite the fact I won all those awards. I had a little bit at Foo Bar. I don't know if they're still going or if they ran out of money. But no, the truth is, I wouldn't want to work for any radio station anyway. And that's not arrogance. The truth is, I set this up, not to Ofcom bash, because that's kind of by the by. My legal case against Ofcom is now in the European Supreme Court, and we'll have a decision on that in a few weeks' time, hopefully. And we're pretty confident we're going to win. And Martin was obviously instrumental in that.
And he's your partner who runs the solicitors downstairs.
Martin's famous because of Howe & Co were the people who represented the Gurkhas when they defeated the Labour government with Joanna Lumley. And the reason I know Martin is I was the first person in mainstream media, both in The Sun and in On Talk Sport, I think maybe even BBC London, where I spoke about the Gurkhas' plight, and I thought the Gurkhas deserved equal pensions and equal rights.
Now, people are going to wonder why a right-wing guy like you gets in bed with a human rights lawyer. Can we talk about that when we've seen the studio? Because you haven't wasted any money on this. This is not just a laptop in a...
No.
In
I mean, a lot of people think it's John Gaunt shouting down a laptop and having a nervous breakdown, which I think the podcasts were a little bit. But no, this has been hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of investment. We're now going into the radio bit. We've had all the toilets refurbed, and then through here is the green room. Again, this looked just like the hospital through there before. These were wards as well. And what we've done, we've had all this redesigned, all the shutters and all the partitions taken out. Through here, there's a little kitchenette. Sound like an estate agent. And then in here, this will be some more production rooms.
Plenty of room.
Oh, there's plenty of room. I've got 2,000 square feet with 2,000 more to go into. So you said about a right wing, and you know, you said first of all about being employed. I mean, really, today it's really apt that you're here because Ofcom obviously have just said Jimmy Carr's out of order for his dwarf joke and censored him, and they've let Ferrari off. Well, I just think that sums up the whole reason why I don't want to be working for a traditional Ofcom regulated station. Why do you need an unelected quango to tell you what you can and cannot say? Neither of them were offensive, so neither of them should have been judged by this body. So I got in with Martin because of the Gurkhas. He knew me. He represented me. And then we've been speaking about this idea for years and years and years, the idea of doing a true free speech radio station.
Now, you've got an employee here. This is Dave, isn't it? Hello, Dave.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Where do I know you from?
Talk Sport.
That's it.
Probably spent the best part of a decade there.
Producing this reprobate.
Absolute pleasure, actually. Our paths have crossed before a few times, and it's been an absolute pleasure getting real stuff done.
It's good gear, isn't it?
It's very good. Yeah, lovely studios.
Do you want to give us a little techie moment?
So a pretty simple production booth. We've got a production PC where we can edit audio, bring it to air, and obviously we put out our broadcast on a podcast as it stands. And then the usual things that you'd see in any production room up and down the country, the high spec that you'd get at places like TalkSport or the BBC. We've got a real little media centre for me.
John, take me in the studio itself, which is very swanky.
Clyde Broadcasting did all this for us. So we've got phone box, top of the range phone box, all integrated with social media, because it's a social media project as well. This is not a linear radio station. The podcast is a very important part of it.
This room, a sprung floor.
Yeah, this is. And then we're going to go through to a proper acoustic studio through there. But it was all sprung anyway because for the hospital. So it was quite well soundproofed as well. But in this big space that we've got here, obviously, we've got the production here, but just to tell you, at Christmas, there's another studio going on this side of the room. So then we'll have a joint production area. So there'll be one live studio and one other studio, which will be producing a whole range of other podcasts and pre-recorded shows. And also, they'll be there as a backup in case the main studio goes down.
So talktome.com is not just the John Gort Show.
No.
See, this is just the beginning of a bigger project.
Yeah, this is talktomeradio.com. I started with the podcast, as you know, in my bedroom, in my underpants. I literally had the last £80. £80.
And that's an image that's going to be hard to shake, John.
But my two daughters were nagging me. My wife was nagging me, saying, why don't you just do something yourself? You know, everything's moved on. And then I met Bam Bam again, and they're one of the greatest DJs in this country's ever produced. Music DJs. Absolute travesty. He's not on mainstream radio. He's on a small station down south. He was into podcasts as well. He was instrumental in kind of goading me on as well and said, you can do this, Gaunty. So I did it in the bedroom. And people like Ian Dale were saying, well, why is he doing it? Is it an audition to get a job? No, it wasn't. It was simply, I was doing it because that's the only thing I can do. I can do radio, I can write columns. So I started doing the podcast, and then we ended up with a million downloads, as you know. Meanwhile, I sort of did a narrative whilst I was in the podcast that I was doing every day about how I was trying to get this off the ground. And then, obviously, Martin came on board. We got the building, and now we've had 2 million, nearly 3 million downloads, which I think by anyone's estimation or judgment is remarkable.
Well, let's have a look in the studio.
Yeah, just stress what you just asked me. It isn't just John Gorn FM. It's going to be a major radio audio project. Right, through here. So we had the studio built. These are some guys from Northampton. It's like a modular studio, but we had it slightly adapted so it felt with the shape of the building. So as we go in, the acoustics should change, hopefully.
Very nice.
And so this is a studio. They've just done all Talk Sports Studios, and Clyde Broadcast from Glasgow put all the equipment in. So as you can see, we've got the two TVs, got all the different sky boxes so we can watch, because we're going to do a hell of a lot of sport, so you can watch more than one game at a time. It's fully air conditioned, full acoustic. Clock up there, here's the desk. Synergy, which is Clyde's system for playing all the jingles in. There's a big server which is in another room through there. So the idea was we would then be able to do both a live show, which is what we're doing at the moment, 10 till 1, which is my show. That's also then cut into podcasts, and then those podcasts are put up as well. So the whole idea is the audience, the listener, decides when they want to listen. I think audio, the future is on demand anyway.
So
just
it
like
is telling. Live, though, so that's why you can get phone calls. Are they people genuinely ringing you, or are you ringing out?
No, I would never do that. In my whole career, when I first went to TalkSport, the person I took over from, they were writing emails. I always tell the story that at 11 o'clock they came in with a load of emails. I said, what are they? And they said, they're the emails for the next hour. I said, how can I have emails for the next hour? I haven't set the subject. Oh, no, I won't mention his name because it's embarrassing. We write them for him because he gets no callers and he gets no emailers. I said, well, you don't effing have to do that for me, because if I can't get a caller, I'll give up. So some of them listen live now, and we get callers. I mean, I found it remarkable. I mean, I think a better test of how successful we're being at the moment is the fact I get over 100 emails a day. I never got anywhere near that number on TalkSport. So that's pretty incredible. We also, now we get the live calls, but it's not a phone-in, you see. Again, some people have said, oh, it's not a phone-in, you're not getting any callers. Well, we're not going to get as many callers as James O'Brien or LBC at the moment, of course, because our audience isn't there yet, the mass live audience. But also, it's not what it's meant to be. If you actually listen to what I'm doing, the guest quality is absolutely second to none.
Well, you do a lot of ringing out, don't you, in the sense that you do ring experts. You do ring people who've got something to say.
Guests.
That's what you call it. Like your man the other day talking about Putin, a guy who used to work for Yeltsin.
Alexander Nekrashov. Yeah.
And you don't bother in a BBC kind of way to balance that. He's got a point of view, you ask him what it is, he tells you. That's always really been your way, isn't it? That people are allowed to have their opinion.
This is the home of free speech. Yeah, it's the home of free speech. So I'm interested in people with strong opinions. Obviously, we're only going to be regulated by the law, and I've got 80 lawyers downstairs, so I don't think we've really got a problem there. So when people come on, they can speak. And also, we don't have junctions, so we haven't got news. I didn't think there was any need for news because they're going to become podcasts. So there's no news, there's no weather, there's no travel. So then when you get into an interview and somebody's interesting or a caller's interesting, we just carry on.
Danny Baker would love that, wouldn't he?
Well, maybe, yeah. So, yeah, lots of people would like it because actually it gives you a freedom. So we're now taking on other... We're going to start taking on other people. And the only rule is that they tell the truth, that their truth, which obviously isn't going to be your truth or necessarily my truth. And likewise, you know, we can't really announce who we've got, but we've got some people coming on and some organisations coming on, some of which you'd say, oh, that's typical Gaunty. Others you'd say, oh, I can't believe he's having them on as well. Because it isn't about me agreeing with them. It's about them expressing their view, their truth. And so what we won't be having is any devil's advocate, because I've never been that. So you, I wouldn't
but
have.
That's
any...
what your employers in the past have required you to do. That is the kind of British model of impartiality which you've railed against.
Yeah, well, I know. See, the whole point is balance comes over a period of shows, right? I've always said that in talk radio. It's a soap opera. People listen continually. They either listen once, never listen again, but if they listen continually, the balance will come. That's why the BBC don't need to get fussed about it. Impartiality is impossible. Nobody can be impartial, right? Because what the BBC interpret that is soft left. So they're all soft left. I know, because I've worked there. So, you know, all soft left, but watching Rupert Murdoch Sky in the control rooms. But anyway, such is life. So all we're doing is just saying, yeah, just express your view. So when, people before said, oh, and I've done telly and stuff, you know, indeed with people like Nick Ferrari. Oh, what's your view going to on this? And I'll say, well, my view is this. And he says, oh, well, I'll take the opposite view. Well, no, take your view. Say what you want to say. And I'm sure people like Nick Ferrari would really like to do that. But we're not Ofcom bashing. The whole idea is we will get together a group of people who will do podcasts and live shows, audio on demand, and we'll build it out from there. And so rather than starting and saying, let's get, you know, 15 presenters and take on this huge budget, we've done it very small, grown out, and we only want people who've got a like mind and want the freedom to do radio how it's meant to be done.
What's the timescale for this, John?
You'll see some very significant developments in the next 2 to 3 weeks. But then, I mean, people say to me, is it going to be a 24-hour station? Is it going to be a 12-hour? I'm not thinking linear. Anybody who thinks linear, you know, it's so last century, isn't it? You know, it's not. So we might have 4 breakfast shows. We might have 5 shows that start at 10 o'clock. We might have no shows that start at midday, you know, because most of our audience, at the moment, it's 17 to 3. So 17 people listening on demand when they want to listen to it, and 3 otherwise. You know, we're not in a position where you can demand, I'm John Gaunt, listen at 10 o'clock. And that's all gone. I really do believe that's gone. And if I said that to you about telly 4 or 5 years ago, you'd have said, I'm mad. But how much do you watch of live telly now? Hardly anyone watches live telly. And I think radio will go that way. I still think there's room for live, because when we do the live, that's when you might get that magic moment where they're unguarded, which of course then is great for the podcast as well. So you do need a live element, but we're not trying to create a live radio station.
Okay, so you're challenging the traditional broadcast model. You must also be challenging the traditional funding model, because, I mean, I've heard the podcast, there don't seem to be ads, there's no programme sponsorship.
There are ads in the podcasts.
Are there?
Yeah, there's ads in every single podcast. Okay. There's not ads how you would see ads.
Ah.
There's no spot ads. The podcast provider we're with at the moment, they inject ads into it, which we get a minimal amount of income from. No, what there'll be is presenter-endorsed ads is the best way to describe it. So the programmes will be sponsored, so will sections be sponsored. And of course, again, we haven't got Ofcom to say, you can't say the odds from William Hill today are X, Y, and Z. We'll be able to say that.
Also,
completely.
Since such a restaurant is great.
Yeah,
or
I went there. Yeah, but again,
stuff.
None of that will be lies. That'll be true.
Okay.
You know, so if we talk about my new Jaguar, it'll be the fact I've got a new Jag. And of course, I got it free because I'm John Gaunt. But if you want to get one this week, there's a £500 discount if you use this code. It's the American model. It works in America. Why shouldn't it work here? Answer. It will. It is, because people are already interested in
it. So are you feeling prosperous, John?
No, I'm skint.
Because last time I saw you, when we sat on the steps at St. Pancras, or Euston, wasn't it?
Euston, yeah.
You were pretty unhappy then. You seem a lot happier now.
I'm very happy. And I don't feel I need to... I think when I was there, I'd been in the wilderness and I was angry about it. And, you know, I was anti this, anti that. I'm not that at all now. I'm just doing my little thing. I did my podcast. They have been quite successful. I've enjoyed doing them. People love listening to them. That's meant that investors are interested in giving money. They've also seen the commercial plan that we've put together, and they seem to think that will stack up. But they're not in a rush to get their money back, because actually they believe in free speech as well. You see, what you have to, and maybe when you talk to Martin in a moment, if we can get him on this as well, what you have to understand is that free speech is under attack in this country, right? Whether it's Theresa May and her snooper's charter. See, and you described me as right-wing before. My views are much more complicated than that. We don't need a snooper's charter. You know, I used to say in The Sun, I've got nothing to hide, so I've got nothing to worry about if you want to look at my emails. Hold on a minute. All my mates at The Sun got arrested. They had nothing to hide. I ain't got anything to hide, but you ain't going to look at my internet, Mr. May. You ain't going to do it. And likewise, you know, we've got a situation now where people like Hugh Grant and that other person, what's his name? Alan
Steve
Partridge.
Coogan,
right? Coke snorting off prostitutes' bellies, Coogan. And Hugh Grant got himself in the News of the Screws when I famously said, if you don't want to be in the front page of the News of the Screws, don't get shack up with hookers on Sunset Boulevard. But these two moral guardians, right, are now trying to make newspapers as restricted as radio is in this country. What we need is less regulation, not more regulation. It's about free speech. And what we need to do in this country is have more people saying what they feel and what they think about things. Then it won't get brushed under the carpet, and we won't end up like Germany, where we have 1,000 rapes and sexual assaults on New Year's Eve and the media cover it up.
OK, so you mentioned it's a social networking project, this, John.
Yeah.
So I put out on Twitter this morning, I was coming to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
A few people have responded with some questions.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you one or two of these?
No.
Keep your answers brief, as Steve Hewlett would say. So this is from Rob Shuttleworth. When he falls out with all those around him consistently, does he ever feel the problem might be him?
Yeah, well, this is one of the haters, one of the trolls on the internet. Rob, great that you're still following me. Perhaps you need to look in the mirror and think, why am I so obsessed with John Gaunt? But Rob, no, I mean, I don't fall out with everyone around me. That's absolute nonsense. I got the sack. I think the only place I ever have got the sack is from TalkSport. Unjustly so, because even if you look at the Ofcom ruling, they say that. I wasn't sacked by the BBC. The BBC would not allow me to write for The Sun, even though they were launching a brand new radio station they spent £3 million on. And in fact, it's on the record, if you ask Andy Griffey or if you ask Pat Lockery, who I really admire, Pat Lockery, they were very disappointed that I couldn't do both.
Right, moving on swiftly. Chris Campbell, is he one of your trolls?
No, I blocked him. I noticed him.
Why did you have a massive fit just because David Aronovich put the phone down on you?
No, David Aronovich is an apologist for paedophiles and abusers. David Aronovich, it's on the record, you don't need to worry about libel. He seems to be more concerned with people who have been accused of paedophilia rather than the victims themselves. He famously, in one of his articles, tried to make out the victims of fantasists. I don't believe they are. I believe they're survivors of the most foul abuse, and I believe there's a VIP cover-up of abuse in this country, and I believe the abuse is still carrying on. David Aronovich then did me the great honour of commenting, writing about me in his article, but he called me some abusive name as well. But that's fine. That's what it's about. He's got an opinion. I've got an opinion. David Aronovich did put the phone down. I invited him to put the phone down, and he put the phone down. Fine. Marvellous. Build the audience.
OK, Louis Barf, do you know him?
Oh, he's some poxy little radio reviewer for the Lady magazine. Yeah, he's had something against me ever since I criticised him for writing. He managed to write a book really successfully. He wrote a book about Les Dawson and managed to make it totally unfunny. And of course, okay, Les Dawson's wife didn't like it either.
It says here...
Have you not got any positives?
If Talk To Me Radio dies on its arse, will you finally admit defeat and climb into a bin?
Yeah, probably, but at least I've tried, Louis. You see, that's the difference between you and me, Louis. I've actually tried. I don't really understand why people take this instant dislike to me. Maybe it just saves time. But that's up to them. You know what I mean? I'm not upset. I'm not worked up about them. I think it's amusing. I think if they defame me and libel me, I have an absolute right to defend myself. But if they don't like what I do, that's fine. But, you know, it's so bizarre because the people like Louis Barf, they listen every day. They listen every day. He wrote an article about me, and I didn't even know what Lady magazine was, just slagging me off. And it's just so funny, and it's so odd. And all I'm trying to do is a different style of radio. So now I've gone off, I've raised the money, I've done this, I've done everything I said I would do, and more. Why do you want to hate me?
Thanks for that now, John. We're going to move on. We've got Martin from Brentford here. Martin, what is it? You know, you're a human rights lawyer. What is it you see in this controversialist?
In this fella here? What do I see in him? There's an honesty about what John says, and there is always what you get out of John is what's on the tin. There's no hidden agenda. There's no kite flying just for the sake of it. He doesn't become controversial to generate controversy. He's there dealing with the issues that matter, in my view, and tackles them in a way that invites the viewpoints from all of the spectrum to do with that issue. And that's what's good for me.
So is this project for you about free speech, or is it eventually about creating a radio brand?
Well, it's about both. You know, I am a huge supporter of free speech. I'm also a businessman. You know, I run my own law firm. For us to be able to do social justice type of work we do, we've got to be able to pay ourselves, eat our own food, and pay for our staff. So, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. They go along with each other. Defending free speech, reigning against authority that regulates in an unfair way, reigning against governments that act in an unfair way. Those are the issues that float my boat, and they're the issues that are important to me. And if I see or hear anyone's speech being attacked, I will defend that.
Has John got you into trouble yet?
Not yet, but I'm sure it's coming. No, not at all.
He harumphed in the background.
I think it's right to say that in years and years I've been on the radio, John has never ended up in the courts over any issue that's arisen on his radio programmes or any other presentations. There's no defamation proceedings.
What it is, you see, though, because the radio industry, you know, you call me a controversialist. I'm not. I just speak my mind. And what we're doing with this project is allowing other people to speak their mind. And so when we've got universities who are trying to take down statues of people like Cecil Rhodes, when we've got an African student who's actually on a Rhodes scholarship, he wants to tear it down and rewrite history, and we're getting cultural revisionism, when we're getting people like Jermaine Greer not able to say that a transgender woman is not a woman, just because they've chopped their cock off and therefore being banned from Cardiff University. When we've got Mesa Gifford, who wants to come and talk about fighting the Islamic State at UCL and is banned because they won't make a judgment between Islamic State and the Free Kurdish Army, that's when freedom of speech is under attack. And that's why this station is important. And that's what I've always been about. But the radio industry don't want to see that. What they want to see is, oh, John Gaunt's just a big mouth and an arrogant on all this. That's why getting back and being humiliated, not having a job, and getting back in front of my laptop and just doing the podcast was so important, and it's given me a confidence again, but I think also given me a humility, because I've been at the top. I've earned more money than, apart from Chris Evans probably, in radio, than anybody who's probably going to listen to this podcast. And now I'm skint, and I was skint. I had my last 80 quid and I've done this. But do you know what? People outside radio back me and support me, and that's always happened. And so that's all we're trying to do.
Getting back on the free speech point, really. I'm like, the way to deal with controversial issues or issues that are in the public interest is to debate them. I mean, let's take, for example, you know, Trump the chump. You know, should he be allowed to come over here and address our parliament or have meetings? Absolutely, of course he should, because the views that he expressed about banning all Muslims from the US, absolute nonsensical view, and he should be shown up for the foolishness of his words. He should be humiliated by debate, not by banning. And that's what we're talking about. Have it out in the open, discuss it in the open, make your own mind up, but have a proper argument.
Okay, without, so if people want to find it, Gaunty, where are you?
Yeah, well, that's another thing. See, people say, oh, it's not radio because it's not on the FM or AM. Well, they probably said that when valves went to transistors. It's on the internet. We have a free app. If you want to get the app, it's available both for on Google. So you go to Google Play, so you've got an Android phone. Or you go, if it's an iPhone or an iPad, go to the App Store. Completely free to download. It's Talk To Me Radio. And then, of course, nowadays, you listen on 4G. We just had the app redeveloped, actually. Just had some more money come in. So we've redone the app now. So now you'll be able to not only listen to the live show when it's live, or the live shows as they come on, but all the podcasts. You can subscribe and download the new podcast. That'll be out this week. I just think it's the future.
All right, Gaunty, thank you for that. Thanks for inviting us to Brentford. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you.
This is the Radio Today programme. I'm Trevor Dan, and this is The News with Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, solutions for radio, sponsors the Radio Today programme.
The big headlines this week: over 100 people have complained about the television adverts for the launch of Radio X and the return of Chris Moyles. 87 of them said the ad encouraged and condoned antisocial behaviour and violent behaviour, and others believed it was inappropriate for children to watch. The complaints have been rejected by the Advertising Standards Authority. The owner and founder of Radio Silly, Kerry Jones, is leaving the station to concentrate on a new travel show which he'll make available to other radio stations. Zoe Parry will take over the role as MD shortly. And more sad news this week as we report the deaths of Signal Radio original presenter Jerry D and BBC Radio Lancashire's country music presenter Joe Fish. You can see tributes to both on our website. That's the very latest. For more, visit radiotoday.co.uk.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
David Lloyd's Radio Moment.
So, 17 years ago this week, and a special wedding.
Hello?
Hey, Greg, well done.
How you doing?
Mate, you're a married man.
I know.
How does it feel?
It didn't actually hit me until after we put the ring on the finger. We just turned around and, like, saying you're man and wife. It was like, ooh.
A lot of people, like myself, listening out, thinking you're bloody crazy. But, hey, you know, madder things have happened, and I really hope it works out for you both. I really do.
It didn't. One of the most famous radio stunts of all time. Two strangers and a wedding on Birmingham's then BRMB this week in 99. Some broadcasts themselves become history. Witness here the dramatic announcement this week, 51 years ago.
This is London. Here is a news flash.
And a dramatic pause here for a full 6 seconds. 5, 6.
This is London.
Pause.
We have just heard that Sir Winston Churchill has died. That is the end of this news flash from the BBC, London. There'll be a news broadcast in 15 minutes' time at 09:15 Greenwich Mean Time.
And then classical music ensued forever. The death of Sir Winston Churchill, as announced on the BBC World Service this week in 1965. Radio 2 was the first BBC station to go 24 hours, and that was this week, 37 years ago. Sarah Kennedy was on hand for that final close down.
Well, let's have a look at the clock before I do my final and last close down of the year. What is it? Coming up to nearly 3 minutes past two. Nearly 3 minutes past two. Tom Edwards will be propelled by a BBC alarm clock to wake you at 5 o'clock with his early show. So if you are working through the night, only 3 hours to go, and then we'll be back with some more company, some more records.
Good night, Sarah.
Sleep well.
I will. Radio 2 going 24 hours this week in 79. And after that time, a curious programme called You, the Night and the Music filled those small hours.
This is Radio 2 throughout the night on 433 and 330 metres, 285 to 75 metres and stereo VHF.
I think we can probably receive that. Staying with Radio 2, the great Ray Moore hosted his last early show this week 28 years ago.
Very, very lovely indeed. There it is, Nasty Nest, doling out the goodies with sugar tongs and long white elbow gloves this morning. Willy Boskovsky in the Monte Carlo National Opera. And a thing knocked off one foggy night by Val Teufel and called Bella Bocca. And I'd lay even money and otherwise I know. A note from the school library service in Aylesbury in Buckinghamshire to get me to do...
Some of the best pictures on radio. Ray Moore hosting his last early show this week in 88. He died a year later. This week, 6 years ago, a news station for Liverpool.
It's 6 a.m. on Monday, January the 28th, 2008. For the very first time, this is City Talk 105.9, broadcasting to Merseyside.
City Talk 105.9, launching from Liverpool's St John's Beacon this week in 2008. And how nice that launch nodded to the words of its older sister, launching 34 years before.
It's 2 minutes to six on Monday, October the 21st, 1974. For the very first time, this is 194 Radio City, broadcasting to Merseyside.
Nice touch, and noticed at last. In 1994, this week, it was farewell to Radio 4's Brian Redhead, aged 64. One of his most famous moments was when he squared up to the then-Chancellor, Nigel Lawson, on the Today programme.
Well, you've been a supporter of the Labour Party all your life, Brian, so I expect you to say something like that, but you really shouldn't sneer at these job clubs, which are giving real hope to the long-term unemployed, getting them into the, getting them out of their depressed state of mind many of them are in, and they are going on to get real jobs.
Do you think we should have a 1 minute silence now in this interview? One, for you to apologise for daring to suggest that you know how I vote, and secondly, perhaps in memory of monetarism, which you've now discarded.
Brian Redhead, who hosted the Today programme for 18 years. Happy 70th birthday this week to this chap.
It's 13 and a half minutes before 7 o'clock. And true to form, let's have a look around the British Isles and see what conditions were like a little bit earlier this morning. Starting with Glasgow, where it was cloudy, 9 centigrade, that's 48 Fahrenheit. Exactly the same in Belfast, cloudy, 9. Cloudy, 10 in Manchester. Birmingham, drizzle, 9.
That was novel, wasn't it? Looking at the weather we'd already had. Happy birthday to Colin Berry, heard on Radio 1, Radio 2, and our Eurovision voice for so many years.
Indeed, this is the BBC in London.
It's 12 years this week since BBC Director General Greg Dyke resigned following criticism of the BBC in the Hutton inquiry.
We got very badly criticised by the Hutton report. Whether that's fair or not fair is for another time, but I think if you're that badly criticised, it's right for the Director General to go. Only by going will we be able to draw a line.
Greg Dyke, 45 years ago this week, and a new BBC local service for Lancashire.
This is BBC Radio Blackburn, serving you, the people of North East Lancashire, on 96.4 VHF. The time is 12 o'clock, and to introduce this first official broadcast, here's your station manager, John Musgrave.
The launch of BBC Radio Blackburn this week in 1971. It turned quietly into BBC Radio Lancashire 10 years later. And from one Blackburn to another, happy 73rd birthday, Tony.
I don't believe a word of it, though, do you? It's Radio One. Workers' call time.
It's a great good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, and welcome along to all those of you hard at work, or even if you're just at work, nice to have you with us. Remember the address to write to for the Workers' Call, Tony Blackburn Show, Workers' Call, BBC London, W1A4WW. And all we need from you is your name, address, and telephone number. And, of course, it is preferable that you're in at sometime between 11 and 12, about sort of 11.30 to 12-ish time. Otherwise, we could well ring you up and you won't be there, and we'll think you're very silly, and we'll throw your card away. Right.
And we thought all the social media mentions now were confusing. Back then, it was the back of a sealed-down envelope, wasn't it? Happy 73rd birthday, Tony Blackburn. And when he was born, the UK had two radio stations. So, with the first test broadcast for Radio North Sea International 46 years ago...
You're tuned to 186 metres in the medium wave band, 1,607 megacycles.
Christian O'Connell airing his first show on what was then Virgin Radio 10 years ago...
What's the funniest rumour you've heard about yourself?
A new sitcom on Radio 4 42 years ago...
We present Arthur Lowe, John LeMessurier and Clive Dunn in Dad's Army.
And with this released 32 years ago... Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio, someone still loves you.
Amen to that. David Lloyd. More Radio Moments next week. Stuart Clarkson will be in the chair for that. I'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks when Stephanie Hurst will do her first Radio Today interview since October 2014. I wonder what she made of John Galt's comments about transgender people earlier. Anyway, our thanks to Martin Rowe and to John for showing us around the studios of Talk To Me Radio. Thanks to researcher Hayley Hayes and, of course, to you for listening. I've been Trevor Dan. This has been a TDC production for Radio Today. Pip, pip.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.